Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. We appreciate every one of you coming to church. Looking forward to what God is going to do amongst us. How many of you in here believe that God is interested in meeting with us? I mean, today, right now. He's got something on his mind he wants to do especially for you. And thank God he does. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to open the meeting in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Clay Haynes to come forward. He's going to pray for us. So let's pray together.
Lord, as we come to you today, I just want to come to you and tell you thank you for another Sunday here at Merville Baptist Church. Lord, I just ask that you be with everybody in the service today, be with the singing, be with John as he delivers a message. Lord, just want to tell you thank you so much for all the love that you have for us, all the blessings that you give to us. We're so grateful. Lord, just want to tell you that we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
By faith and through the Lord. This is me pouring from the 40 in the choir book. We'll do it again.
Thank you. pain. I faced her 2 weeks, I grieved her to pain, and I cried, Lord, it seems that you haven't heard my prayer. Oh, the God said I heard the first time you called, but Satan tried to rob your answer and stole. Reinforcements been made, Satan's had to withdraw. There's power in prayer.
Brethren, there's been times when I've let myself down. And I went to God in prayer about it. And He did something about it. Glory to God. I'm glad He's a God of prayer. Amen. When it seems like no one's listening to you, there's a God in heaven that's got it all. He's heard it all. Amen. Amen. I got some announcements that I need to make. And a good number of announcements, so put your earballs on and listen real close. This coming Sunday is going to be a big day here at Merville because we're reopening some of our services. We're going to be beginning our Sunday school back at 9:45. All Sunday school classes will resume, and I pray that it be not as normal. I pray that it goes beyond normal. Can I get a witness right there? Everybody's wanting to get back to normal. Why do we want to go back to where we come from? Let's go forward with God. Amen. Amen. Christian ain't supposed to have a reverse gear. It's all forward. Amen. Well, anyway, our Sunday school will be reopened this coming Sunday. Now, don't forget it. And be here at 9:45, a regular morning service. And the choir will also be reopening. We're going to start running our choir again. And Brother Terry needs some help from all men with muscles. right after the service. Now, I know that'll exclude some of us, but all men with muscles, Terry needs some help to move some of these chairs out of the choir loft. We're going to set up the choir loft to where it will accommodate a skeleton choir and keep a little bit of social distancing. So anyway, Brother Terry needs help with the chairs. I couldn't help myself. Devil made me do it. Amen. And then Brother Chris Lauer wanted me to mention to the congregation, we have our broadcast set up upstairs. We do the PA system, the word, shooting the words on screens and all like that. And Brother Chris has spent so much time up there getting all of this fine-tuned and to where it works great. If you've never watched one of our broadcasts, you need to go and watch it. It's in HD. I know my life and just person is about 2D, but if you'll watch online, you'll see me in high definition. Amen. And he's worked diligently to get that. But what he's needing some people that'll work with him to learn how to run some of that up there, whether it be on the audio side, the broadcast side. It takes about 2 to 3 men to run it properly. And he needs anybody interested in technology. If we got any tech geeks, get with Brother Chris right after service. Let him know your heart about it. And it'll be all set up on a rotation basis to where, you know, one person's not up there all the time. So see Brother Chris. And also, with our Sunday school, Sister Jessica Satterfield would like to meet all Sunday school teachers right after morning service. Right up here up front will be fine. So meet with Sister Jessica, our Sunday school director, and she'll give you more information and talk through some things with you. And I wanted to mention also that out on our track rack, we have some brand new tracks that are exceptional. I found these and I ordered some of them on the back as I printed information already and about our church. But there's tracks out there, How to Be Saved. That's a great track for witnessing. And then there's another one, Are You Ready? A great track on being ready to meet Jesus. Why did Jesus die? Just a gospel track. 3 things God cannot do, and you must read it to find out what they are. The Easter track on the tomb is empty. What is meant by the rapture? It'll explain the rapture. That's confusing to a lot of people today. And then this one, which I favor and I really like, especially for the times in which we are living, A Greater Danger Than COVID-19 and an Effective Cure. A good gospel track, so get you some. Be sure to talk to people about Jesus. If the church don't get busy with that, I'm afraid of what we may see as a church. Can I get a witness right there? That's what God has left us here to do, is to talk to others about Jesus Christ. So be sure to get you some tracks.
Can't the stars morning on? He knows how much the end is on the shore. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Good to see young people up singing for Jesus. And scared me to death. Man. I ate the wrong thing this morning. Oh, Lord. We needed that. Yes. Acts chapter 20 this morning. Acts chapter 20. When you find that passage of Scripture, if you'll stand, somebody may have a word of testimony this morning on your heart. If you need to testify, it'd be a good time to stand up and brag on Jesus. Yep. Amen. They talk about our national debt. I'm in debt. A trillionfold for how many times God has done it again in my life. Amen. Anybody else this morning? Acts chapter 20, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts is a misunderstood book because a lot of people don't understand what's happening in the book of Acts is coming from the Old Testament to the New. A lot of the Jewish people didn't understand grace. They understood law and lived by law, but they did not understand what Brady just sang about, grace. And so, therefore, the book of Acts is a progressive book. It'll take you from to the grace of God. But in Acts chapter 20, I want to begin in verse number 6 and read through verse number 12 for our thought for the morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 6 through 12. And I'm going to be preaching. I'll go ahead and tell you the title of my message. Here it is. The dangers. It's going to be a dangerous message. The dangers of falling asleep in church. Let me give you that title one more time. I like doing that. The dangers of falling asleep in church. Acts chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse number 6. It says it like this. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. A picture of the rapture. I just saw that. We sailed away. We sailed away. And we're going to be up there 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech, I love this, until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. That comforts me. If it happened with Paul, it comforts me when I see some of the closed eyeballs. Verse number 9, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. In other words, they had revival because this dead man came back to life. I want to take these verses and preach with this thought on the dangers of falling asleep in church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we're a blessed people. And we thank you, Lord, for what we've already experienced, Lord, just gathering together and hearing the great singing, Lord, that we've heard this morning. It has ministered to my heart, and I know the hearts of many this morning. I pray and ask you, dear Lord, to please bless this time as we gather ourselves together around the preaching of the Word of God. May it be used by, Lord, make me usable. God, use me this morning. Lord, I don't want to get in the way of what God is wanting to do in the hearts and lives of every person that's in this room. So God, please use my life this day. Empower me, Lord, not for my glory in any way, but for the sake of those that are here and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we love you. We thank you and praise you for loving us the way you do. Now, God, add your favor to everything that's said and done. And we'll thank you and praise you for us in the precious, holy name of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask these things. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Paul is on his third and final missionary trip. You study the life of Paul and you'll realize that God used him in a mighty way in traveling throughout Asia Minor, Europe, into Italy and various places, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a man greatly used of God in the preaching of the Word of God, and he experienced many things in his journeys. Well, he's on his last journey. He's gone now. He's left Philippi, and he's come to a little place. It's a western town on the western coast of Asia Minor by the name of Troas. And Paul knows that he's going to be leaving on the next day. So he wants to get in as much preaching as he can to them because he realizes that he has a short time with them. So he wants to give them the benefit of the preaching of the Word of God. And he preaches until midnight and then spends the rest of the night with them just talking about the things of God. And then we come up to the story that we have about this young man who falls asleep while Paul is preaching, and he falls out of the upper chamber, three stories high, and he falls, and they suppose him to be dead, but Paul informs him that there's still some life in him, and he lives. And that's our story. And I want to focus on this man, and this man that fell asleep during church, and preach on the dangers of falling asleep while at church. Now, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, whether it be in the Old Testament, whether it be in the New Testament, every book, every chapter, every story, every word has something there to bless all of our lives. This book will benefit us. Can I get a witness right there? The Bible says in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, in verse number 8, it said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So in this storyline, there is a benefit for every one of us to learn from. I don't know what God is after in your life. I don't know what God is up to in your life, but I know our God, which sits on the throne of heaven, He is interested in helping all of our lives. Can I get a witness right there? I want us to look at this story and think about this man. And the first thing that I want us to notice is the fortune of this man Eutychus. You say, where do you get that from? Be patient with me, and I'm going to preach it to you. Amen. The fortune of this man. You find out when you study the Word of God that the names given to people, they didn't just name people what they named them because they liked the sound of the name. They named people because names have meanings. Let me give you an example. In the very beginning, when God created Eve and brought her to Adam, it said that Adam called her Eve because she's the mother of all living. And that's what the name Eve means, the mother of all living. And she is. She's the reason that we're here today, because God created Eve. You take the name Noah. It said that they named Noah in his day because they said that he would comfort the people concerning their toil. And the name Noah means comfort. Names have meanings. I looked up my name, John. That's a great name. There's some great men named John in the Bible. John Baptist, John the Beloved, and John. Well, I won't go there. But the many great people by the name of John. And the name John means God has been gracious. I looked up the name Debbie. I did. I asked her this morning. I said, you know what your name means? And it's befitting of her, I thought, when I found out what her name meant. Her name means word and bee. She's busy as a bee, and she always has a word. Amen. I thought, amen. Well, names have meanings. Do you know what the name Eutychus means? The name Eutychus, it means happy or fortunate. That's what his name means. They named him that for a reason. Maybe he was a happy baby whenever he was born. I don't know. But they named him Eutychus, which means happy and fortunate, which leads my mind to think about this world and how unhappy and how they're not happy. They have no good fortune in their life. This world is a miserable world that we live in. People are so connected today, but yet so disconnected. I mean, they've got everything, but they have nothing. But this man was a fortunate man, and I believe our text will tell us why he was so fortunate. Number one, he was in church. That's a fortune afforded us that we need to reconsider in all of our lives. I mean, this man was in church. And you know what's better than just being in church? It's being the church. Amen. I mean, just knowing that you're a child of God, knowing that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and that you are God's forever. I mean, that is a great fortune that God gives us. He was in church. He was a fortunate man. Did you know being able to go to church is something that we take lightly today? But going to church and being the church is something that makes us rich in Christ. The world knows nothing about going to church. They do not consider the value of going to church. But there is value. There's a benefit in being the church of the living God. I mean, think about it. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm glad I'm standing in the midst of the people of God this morning. Thank God for the church. Amen. We normally think of the church as a building, but no, it's the blood-washed, born-again, Bible-believing Christians who have been bought with a price, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm in that number, and I thank God for redeeming my life. I don't deserve to be redeemed. I don't deserve to be saved. But here I am by grace, saved by the grace of God, eternally secure in Jesus Christ. And God is my Father. Oh, there's nothing any better than being the church. This man was in the church. Not only was he in the church, he was listening to preaching. Do you know what a benefit that is in life? I mean, you think about preaching. Preaching is what gets the job done. I'm talking about God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is a benefit whether people believe that or not. And thank God for men who will surrender their lives to the call to preach the Word of God and rear back and let God use their lives. I mean, God loves preaching. We're a fortunate people. Sitting in this room, here we are doing the same thing that Charles Haddon Spurgeon did, that D.L. Moody did, that Paul did. I mean, the greatest people on planet Earth are those who are saved by the grace of God. And here we sit in that number of the redeemed, listening to the same messages, the same Word of God that all the other saints did. Thank God for preaching this morning. It's what gets the job done. Why, I got called to preach sitting under preaching. I'm learning how to be a husband sitting up under preaching. I'm learning how to have a relationship with my wife and others sitting up under preaching. Preaching is what benefits our lives. And here we sit this morning in the church. We are the church and we're listening to preaching. And there's no telling what God could do in all of our lives. God has something in particular on His mind just for you this morning. The dangers of falling asleep in church. We're His representatives. We are the light. We walk in the light. We shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ's sake. And thank God He has chosen us. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We've been chosen, handpicked by God Almighty. And here you sit this morning having the same opportunity that every other saint of God has ever had, setting upon a preaching in a church house. And thank God for preaching and the church. Can I get a witness? Amen. We're fortunate people. I thought about the fortune of this man. The church is where I got saved. It's a place where I've heard some of the greatest preachers stand up and preach some of the greatest messages that my ears have ever heard. Preaching has fixed my life. It has changed my life. It has done a work of God within my life. And brethren, we need to understand the value and the importance of church and the preaching of the Word of God. I remember when I first went to church, I was invited by Brother Greg, Dr. Greg Pierce, and we're praying for him right now. Brother Greg, if you're listening, we love you, brother, and we're praying for you. And Brother Greg came by my house, knocked on our door, and invited me to church. I wasn't a church-going person. I was a wicked individual. And Greg said he told me one time, he said, Brother John, I didn't know whether you were, he said, you looked mad whenever I invited you to church. He said, I didn't know if you were going to fight me or not, standing on your front porch. But he invited me to church that following Sunday. I told Debbie, I said, get up and get ready. She said, for what? I said, we're going to church. She said, do what? I said, we're going to church. I walked into that little church house, Morton Avenue Baptist Church, on November the 21st, 1982, on a Sunday morning. And when I walked in, it was different. It wasn't like going to the beach. It wasn't like going to Walmart. It was different than anything that I'd ever been in before. And I walked in there, and they began singing songs about Jesus Christ and about heaven. And I got to hear a man stand up and preach the Word of God. And I got under conviction. And the next thing I know, that night, I was calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And it changed my life forever. Thank God for church. Thank God for preaching. Can I get a witness right there? Yeah, man. The world has their Fortune 500. But we're of the fortunate multitude who gets to sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, some on Wednesday nights. And I'm just trying to tell you and trying to remind you the value, the importance, the richness of church and listening to preaching. Amen. The fortune of this man. But then I want us to consider, secondly, the falling asleep of this man. There were some reasons, I believe, discovered in our text of why this man fell asleep. We think of physical sleep, and that is a determinant, the preaching. I understand that at times. I get sleepy myself. And I can go to sleep anywhere, anytime. It does not matter. If I sit down and be still for 5 minutes, I'm gone. My wife says when I lay my head on the pillow in 2 minutes, I'm snoring. I mean, I can just go to sleep anytime, anywhere. And sometimes I just have to fight it because I'm so apt to go to sleep. I'm on so much medication. I'm in a medical daze all the time. I'm on so much medication. It's pitiful. And I realize we get ourselves into those fixes. And I realize sometimes some of you sit up and watch the Westerns till midnight and 1, 2, or 3 o'clock. And then it dawns on you, oh, my lands, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. And then you work your way through. But we think of physical sleep. But there's such a thing in the Bible as spiritual sleep. And the Bible tells us that it's high time for us to wake up. And that's a spiritual sleep. And there is physical sleep, but there is a spiritual slumber. And the enemy would do anything that he can, to get you distracted, to get you disinterested in what's going on in the confines of the church. And he'll get you distracted with something that's going on across the way. One person can do something and next thing you know, you're fixed on them. And you ain't heard preaching in 10 or 15 minutes. Am I telling it right? I mean, that's called church. And the enemy is slick and sly of distracting us. And if he can, he'll put you to sleep. Whether it be physical or spiritual, he'll put you to sleep. Well, I want us to notice in our text some things that I believe was the reason why this young man, Eutychus, fell asleep. Number one, it was the first day of the week. It was just another Sunday. It was just another Sunday, and he was just doing what he does on Sunday and just going to church. You know, there's a danger. There's a real danger in us just getting accustomed to going to church. That's why I made so much out of church at the very beginning of this message, because church is one of the most important things in a child of God's life. We've got to have church. I mean, it's just not, some of you have found out, it's just not the same watching it. And I know there's some that has to watch it that way, but it's different watching and actually being there. I mean, God moving in a service, there's nothing like it. And you just can't get that at the house every time. But we go to church and God gets to stirring around. I had a person tell me one time, I was inviting them to church. And they said, I gave them a tract. And they said, well, thank you. And they looked at it, turned it over, Murrville Baptist Church. And they said, thank you. I've been looking for a church I can get comfortable in. I reached over there and got trapped back. I said, don't come to Murrville Baptist Church then. Because when you sit there, I guarantee you God is going to show up and get to moving around and stirring around and fingering around in your heart and in your life. And you won't be able to just sit there and just get comfortable. I like church when it's like that. I like it whenever God gets to moving in my heart and in your heart. Will you agree with me that that's what makes church what it is? Is God moving in our hearts? That's what makes it what it is. It's just another Sunday. It's amazing. Some churches have what they call programs, bulletins. And you read the bulletin, it tells you when you're going to stand up and sing, what song you're going to sing. It tells you when the message, what time the message is going to be preached. And what the message is, it'll tell you what time you're going to check out and go home. But even without a bulletin, we sure get programmed with church. I mean, even without a bulletin tell you when to stand, you get expecting, well, this is going to happen now. That's going to happen now. Next thing that's going to happen, Terry's going to sing. Next thing that happened, there's going to be a special. Next thing, we just get accustomed to the first day of the week. But the first day of the week, that's that day that Jesus cut up out of the grave. That's the day that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, that we can all be here and be the church of the living God. I mean, Sundays is different from any other day of the week. It was the first day of the week. Then I think, secondly, do you notice our text said that there was a lot of lights in the upper chamber? And this man was sitting right there by the light. And the light did not affect him anymore. There's a danger. There's a danger when the light of God don't affect you anymore. You know what the light is, don't you? The Word of God. Woo! Boy, I'm telling you what, this Bible, I can be wrong. And I can start reading this book, and this book will straighten me out real quick. I got a sneaking suspicion. That's why a lot of people don't read it. Well, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? A lot of people don't like reading this book because it straightens them out. But I must be honest with you. My life needs fixing. My life needs straightening out. My life needs correcting. I ain't always right. And if you don't believe me, just spend 2 minutes with Miss Debbie, and she can tell you all about it. Amen. Mr. Carolyn, I did that to make up for Wednesday night. Amen. It said that he was in the upper chamber right around the light, and the light didn't affect him anymore. That's why he fell asleep. The light didn't help him. One of the Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Word of God, is one of the greatest tributes to the Word of God that's ever been written in the Bible. In the 176 verses of Psalm 119, the word appears 42 times, talking about the importance of the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God." It says in verse number 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God." In verse 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." In verse 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." In verse 28, "My soul melteth for the heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Do you feel weak this morning? Do you feel like you're just spiritually zapped of strength? Get in the word of God. It will strengthen your life. In verse 41, it says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Verse 50 says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." In verse 114, it says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." In verse number 130, it said, "The interest of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding," hallelujah, "unto the simple." 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119, 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." This book is of great value to our lives. I love Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. It said, "Thy words was found, and I did eat them. And the word was the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." This book is of great value and strength in your personal life. You cannot make it without it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're male or female. You cannot make it without this book in your life. The light didn't affect him anymore. Wasn't any use to him. And then finally, I believe another reason why it said that Paul was long in preaching. Long-winded preacher. Y'all have the luxury of telling people that your preacher is a short preacher. Only 5'6½". I might be long-winded, but I'm short. Amen. He was long preaching. You know, there's a danger of setting up under preaching to where we get to thinking, well, I've heard that before. There ain't no need me paying too close attention. I've heard what that preacher's got to say. When a man of God gets a message from God and brings it to a people of God, God's got a purpose for it, and there's a benefit in it for every one of us. I don't care what his manner is. I don't care if he hacks. I don't care if he's quiet. I don't care if he's loud. It does not matter. When a man of God has got a message from God, there is a need for us to stay awake and listen to what God's got to say. There's reason why some people don't get nothing out of preaching. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it said, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the word preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed preached." And you cannot mix preaching with feelings. You can't mix preaching with your flesh either. Your flesh don't like to be told what to do. You have to mix preaching with faith. It works with faith in them that hear it. You mix preaching with faith, and every time God is able to do something in your heart. You know, there's no telling. This thought just came to me. There's no telling in this one room what God is up to in the lives of people. There may be some man sitting here that God's been dealing with your heart, and you may not even know exactly what it is. But God's been dealing with your heart, and he wants you to preach. Or he may want you to be a missionary. He may want you to surrender your life in some other area of life. But God is always up to something in somebody's life. And when anybody would just take that preaching and mix it with faith, oh, you're going to see that God can effectively work in your life as well as he did D.L. Moody, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It does not matter who you are. God can use your life. He can. See, there's some of you that's just sitting there thinking, no, not me. You're mixing it with feelings. You're mixing it with your flesh. God can use whosoever. He can use anybody. I was arguing with the Lord about this thing being called to preach. I was arguing with him, and one day I was in prayer. And while I was in prayer, God told me, he said, if I use anybody, I use a sinner saved by grace. I said, well, God, that qualifies me right there. You just qualified me. I come out of that prayer closet that day ready to preach, ready to do whatever God wanted me to do. I'm just saying this, that God has still got a reason for you being here. God still wants to work in people's hearts. He still wants to work. But you got to mix it with faith. The preacher was preaching one day, finished, and standing at the back doors, the congregants walked away out. This one particularly well-dressed woman came up to him, and she said, I was horrified during your message. He said, why? She said, you pronounced such and such a word wrong. And she named it to him and told him how he pronounced it wrong. She said, you butchered the English language. He said, well, ma'am, what did I preach on? She said, I have no idea. That one word just got me and I couldn't. That's mixing it with your flesh. You got to mix preaching with faith. Faith. It is called the foolishness of preaching. We make dumb mistakes while we're preaching. We say things backwards and forwards and upside down at times. I had Jonah in the welly of the bale one time. Some of y'all catch that after a while. the results of his sleeping, it says that he sunk down. And when you become spiritually asleep, your life will begin sinking down. Then he fell down. And the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. He sunk down. He fell down. And it said that he was taken up for dead. As far as everybody was considered, that was the end of this man. He fell asleep, fell out of the third loft, hit the floor, three floors down, hit the concrete, the wood, whatever it was. Maybe it was dirt, I don't know. But hit the floor, and there he was, and he laid motionless. And there he laid, and everybody in that church said, well, he's dead. I guess they went on meeting, I don't know, just let him lay there. But here's my final thought, the fixing of this man. The preacher came off the platform, went down to where that lad lay, Eutychus. Laid still, laid motionless. And it said that Paul fell on him and embraced him. He said, don't worry, his life's in him. Everybody else thought he was dead. He said, don't worry, his life's in him. You know what? I couldn't help but to think while I was thinking along these lines. I couldn't help but to think about that one person in your life that made that phone call just inviting you to come back to church. That one person in your life that just caught you on the streets and said, won't you come back to church? There's still hope for you. God's still got something for you to do. Why don't you come on back? And you know, sometimes we bump into people and you know, they've been out for a long time, and we invite them to come back and they kind of begrudgingly say something, or they may just avoid the subject altogether, and they think, man, I can't wait till I get away. But you better thank God for that one that's begging you to come back. Old Brother Joe Chancy, most of you here know him. But Joe Chancy tells the story of one time he got out on God. I used to pastor Brother Joe when I was in Waycross. And Brother Joe was always such a blessing, but he got out on God. He was a preacher. He'd been called to preach. And, well, God used him in a mighty way. He witnessed when nobody else would witness. Joe was just a... He just loved talking to people about Jesus Christ. Well, he got out on God. Fell out and was out for years. Long time. I mean, this wasn't just a short run. He was out for a long time. And by the way, it may not take you long to get out, but it'll take you a long time to get back. It's a short way over. It's a long... The best thing to do is just not get out. And Joe got out on God, and he stayed out. I'd go see him, and he wouldn't come back. But Joe tells a story about one day he was working. He's got a mechanic shop right there by his house, and he's a great mechanic. And Brother Joe told the story about this preacher, down around Waycross area. He went by to see Joe one day. Joe was out there working on some cars, and they called him Baldy. Old Baldy's passed on now. His widow used to cut my mother's grass. She went in lawn service trying to make ends meet, and she cut grass for a living after Baldy died. And Baldy Mixon went by to see Joe. And he talked with Joe for quite a while, and he asked Joe, he said, Joe, why don't you get back in? He said, Joe, come on back to church. He said, Joe, come to my church. Baldy was a pastor. And Joe says that while Baldy was standing there, he was thinking, why don't he get out of my face? No, I ain't going. And said that Baldy turned around and walked away from Joe, going back to his car to leave. He said, Baldy stopped. And he turned around and went back. And Joe stands up like this, y'all know. And Baldy was about my size. And Baldy looked at Joe. He said, "What? Are you just going to quit on God?" And he turned around, went, got in his vehicle, and left. Joe said he could not get away from those words. "What? You just going to quit on God?" Brethren, we need to understand that could happen to any one of us in this room. Any person in this room could wind up just like that, with somebody coming to us and saying, "Would you please come back?" I'm thankful to still be in. And I realize I'm still in by the good grace of God. Had it not been for God being with me, I would not be in. We've all been in through enough to knock every one of us out. But here we sit in the house of God, listening to preaching, and God's got something in mind for your life. As she comes to the piano this morning, I've asked her to sing a special song. I want to ask you something. How's your attitude been toward church lately? Has it just been something that, it's that time again, I guess I'll go? Have you gotten kind of lax with it? You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. Church is vital and valuable to any child of God. It's not just something that preachers preach about. It's a truth. Church is vital for every child of God. Preaching is vital in our lives. We need it. The dangers of falling asleep in church. How's your attitude towards preaching? How's your attitude towards church? If you're here this morning as we stand across the auditorium, maybe somebody's been coming by your way, just inviting you to come back to church. Maybe you're here this morning because somebody said, "Why don't you come to church?" There's a reason for that. You're here this morning not because you're just here, but God has something for you. There's a reason in life. There's a purpose in life with God. If you're here this morning and you need to come, would you come? Whatever God speaks to your heart about, would you come this morning as we bow our heads and close our eyes? Would you come? Maybe there's somebody that you need to go speak to about coming back to church, getting back in where they need to be. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. I wouldn't take this meeting. What if this were the last meeting we ever had before Jesus comes? What if this were the last opportunity you had to get right with God? What if this were the last time that you could come to an altar, talk to Jesus about whatever's on your heart? This man got fixed, and the whole church rejoiced in it. Come this morning. Let God be God. You may be here this morning needing to be saved. Would you be willing, if that's you, would you be willing to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I'm just not right with God in that area, and I realize I need the Lord in my life. Here's my hand." Would you just slip your hand up? Just slip it up and let me see it right back down. "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life." Is there anybody like that in this room? Anybody like that at all in this room? "Preacher, I need Jesus. I need the Lord. Here's my hand. Would you slip it up? Just slip it up. Just slip it up. God bless you, son. Will it be someone else? Preacher, I need the Lord. I want to be saved. Preacher, pray for me. As she sings for us, if you need to come, you come. One time, it may have been twice in a certain meeting, but I met him just briefly, is what I'm trying to say. And every once in a while, I'll get a text from him, and it'll be a lengthy text, long text. And he'll start out, he'll say, Brother Dale, I had the privilege of taking your name to the throne of God this morning. I prayed for you. And they say when that man tells you that, he means that he ain't just saying words. He really spent time in prayer over you. And then he'll have just a little devotional thought, but then he'll end that text every time with this message. It says, stay faithful. You are greatly needed.